Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today in the cozy confines of Studio B is Casey Ulanutz. Hi, Casey.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Casey's a PM on the .NET team.
Yes.
And you are going to show us all kinds of fun stuff inside the current and the next version of Visual Studio that helps developers become more productive.
Yes.
Which is a feature of every single version of Visual Studio since when Visual Studio was invented. So if anybody asks you, oh, tell me about the next version of Visual Studio, you say, oh, it makes you more productive than ever before.
Right.
And you're always true.
Never lying when you say
you're
that.
Never lying. And then if someone says, oh, give me some examples, you're like, oh, well, watch Casey on Toolbox. She'll show you.
There you go. Right? Yep, that's it.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm basically one thing that we're focusing on for Visual Studio 15 is developer productivity and really digging deep into it when you're typing in the editor, how we can make you more productive. And so that's really what I'm just going to show today is all the things that we've been working on for that.
Okay. And then, so you're going to start off with the next version and then bounce back and forth between things that were in the current and the next?
It's basically I'll just show you what's in preview 2.
Okay.
And then maybe some stuff that's coming in the next preview and what will be in RTM.
Okay.
For Visual Studio 15. But then a lot of the features I'll show will be in Visual Studio 2015.
Okay.
And people just don't know about them or they haven't discovered them yet.
So we'll try to do a good job of making clear what things are in the current product, what things are coming.
Yes. I'll try to call them out if they're coming soon versus in the product now.
Excellent. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. So something that happened or came out in Visual Studio 2015 Update 1 is the C# Interactive Window.
2015 Update 1.
Yes.
Okay.
I know the naming is a bit confusing here, but this is 2015 Update 1. So,
Well, we have a long history of that because, let me see if I get this right. Dev 12 was 2013. Dev 13 was 2015. Dev 15 is the next one, right?
Right.
See?
You're
not even clear.
I know that we tried.
Oh, wait, where was Dev 14?
Yeah, we tried to make Dev 14 align with 2014.
Okay.
And then we slipped and it came to 2015.
Okay.
And then it just got 14 mismatched forever.
14 is 15.
Yes.
13 is 12 is 13. 13 was, I don't know.
I can't even keep track
of it.
Yep.
So VS 15 is the next version.
Is the next version that's coming out. Yes.
All right.
And then 2015 is the current version that is out.
But we digress.
All right. So again, in 2015 Update 1, something called the Interactive Window, which is basically just a REPL, which is a read, eval, print loop, where it's basically you can just type in snippets of code and immediately get them evaluated. So I'm going to show you all that. The primary motivation behind the Interactive Window or REPL is to basically learn APIs quickly, as well as to learn new language features quickly. So if you're going from 2013 to 2015 and you want to learn C# 6 and the new things in C# 6, like string interpolation, you can use the Interactive Window to play around and see how it works.
Why don't you just create a win format, put a button on it, and then put that code
behind
the button?
So much effort. So, okay. to launch the C# Interactive Window, we all know that tools options get pretty crazy, and trying to find things in the menus is pretty hard. So something that has been in Visual Studio for a while that not a lot of people know about is the Quick Launch menu, which is up here. And if you can actually just start typing in the names of things, so I can say C# Interactive, and it's going to find the things hidden under these menus for me. So I can just go from here to launch it. And then I can just make it a little bit bigger, and then voila, I'm here. So you can see it's the most glorified calculator of all time. You can just type in expressions. So I can do console dot, right line, hide channel 9, etc. And it's going to print out. And so one of the top use cases is actually using this to explore APIs. So something you can do is you can actually reference assemblies and DLLs here. I think I have the path. No, I don't. So I have to get the path to my DLL. So I paste it here. Then now I can do using OctaKit.
Can you do the same thing with the framework classes?
Yeah. So I could just do using system dot whatever, and they're already in here.
Mm-hmm. And then if you need to add a reference, it's pound R, and you need to know the path.
Yeah, you need to know the path of the deal. Eventually, when we are able to work on the interactive more, we'll have like NuGet capabilities built in better. So you should be able to do like pound R and then like NuGet and then the name of the package. Then we should be able to download it for you and make it a more seamless experience. But we don't know when that will be coming yet, but that's something we're working on. So for example, here I have referenced the OctKit library. I'm trying to learn how to use the OctKit API. And I can it's GitHub's API.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's for trying to figure out how your repo is doing, or you could use it to help you like automate pull requests and stuff like that. So if you're trying to learn it, a lot of us just take code snippets like this from the internet. Surface is having difficulties selecting. Okay. So you can just select something from the internet and then paste it. And then I can just click enter and it'll get immediately evaluated in here.
Okay,
and so it just helps you learn how to play with things. And then you can see we have
IntelliSense. Yep. It's just like editing.
Yep. So it's basically the editor, except now you can just click enter and every expression or statement that you're typing in here is getting evaluated. So I get full IntelliSense, you see, full colorization. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a step up from the standard like command line REPL where you don't get to see these things.
But you don't get the full light bulbs and the whole...
Oh, you get light bulbs.
You do get light bulbs.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what... So
if you put in a couple usings and you only use one
so
of
I can,
them, do they gray out?
Right. So if I can like reset my context here.
Cool.
And if I do pound. Okay. So something I can do is use Alt up to navigate through my history.
Mm-hmm.
So I can use this to go back here. And then now let's say that I try to do my code snippet. I should see a light bulb appear here that tells me that I didn't have my using in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll do that and it'll prepend it to my submission.
Fantastic.
And then I can use Control Enter if my cursor's anywhere to basically automatically submit what's there.
And would it also work with code analyzers?
Or
there's really no way to associate them with this project per se, right?
Yes. So one day it'll be there.
That's a great idea. Something we can work on.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so the interactive window is just this fun playground environment for just playing around with things. So you can also, you know, do var x equal, and they can, like, learn string interpolation, like, how it works. So, I don't know, user by a company, I guess my company. Oh, there's no user associated here, I guess. But yeah, you can just play around with all the different language features and see how they work.
Cool.
Which is pretty awesome. And so that's the interactive window. There's also the ability to get it from the command line. So if I go to the developer command prompt, then all I have to do is once I'm in here, once it loads, is just type CSI, which stands for C# Interactive.
Okay.
And then I'll be dropped inside the REPL from the command line. So I don't need Visual Studio open for this at all. And then I can do the same thing with... And then it'll print out.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. And also, you don't need to have a project open at all to launch a C# Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So straight from the start page, you can just load up the interactive window.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's the interactive window. We also saw the quick launch up here to help you navigate through things.
So it's an even lighter weight way of learning than saying using Visual Studio Code or something, which is, you know, another way people might think to do that, because you don't necessarily want the whole big IDE with projects loaded. You just want a window where you can learn C#.
Yes.
But
so
this way you can do it inside Visual Studio.
Right, yeah. Very cool. Also have, it's basically a lightweight way to interact with C#.
Yep.
So we also have something called a script file, which is a CSX file, where there's no concept of a namespace or anything. And you can basically just type asynchronous code at the top level without having to worry about like console, or without having to worry about public static void main or what a namespace is. You can just start writing C# code. So it's basically, if you're trying to teach someone C#, a nice introduction where hello world is one line in the interactive window.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's great. So back to Visual Studio. We've talked to a lot of developers on the .NET team where we're trying to figure out how to make people more productive. And so we found that a lot of people hate having all these windows open and seeing the menu. And so something that not a lot of people know about is Visual Studio actually has a full screen mode mm-hmm. where you can click Shift-Alt-Enter. Oops, Shift-Alt-Enter. Shift-Alt-Enter. Oh, my computer is so messed up right now. I don't know what's going on. All right. Shift-Alt-Enter, full screen mode.
There we go.
And then it's going to go full screen. It's going to put everything off to the side, and you have as much space as possible to work in the editor. And then from here, what you can do, which not a lot of people know about, is something we have called Navigate To, which we're actually going to rename to Go To, because it's more intuitive what it means, because you're going to something. You can type in the name of a file, a member, a symbol, a type in here, and you'll basically be taken to that, and it'll open it up in the editor. So for example, I know I have a file in here called CodeFix, so I can just type it in here, and I'll see it in here. But I can type any type, member, method name, et cetera, and we'll see this, and it's a one-stop shop for navigating. So you can see in here, you also have the symbols that tell what it is. So like the C-sharp icon is a file, this yellow one is a class, the box is an extension method, et cetera. And so you're able to see these things. And something that's coming in Dev 15 is we're going to allow you to filter. So there'll be an option to go to line from here, or go to type, or go to member, or go to symbol, or go to file. And you won't have to see all this other clutter. So I'm only looking for a file here.
Right.
So I should be able to only see the files that have code fix in them if I want. And so we're going to add that in the next version.
Will there be like an MRU capability of that as well?
What do you mean?
Most recently used?
So we're working on trying to make how this stuff is displayed smarter.
Okay.
I don't know when MRU stuff will be in there, but it's definitely on the like backlog of things that we need to do. It's like the most recently visited stuff will be at the top.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It won't be in there that I know of next, but it's definitely a future want that we have.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. So then in here, there's also options. So there's a thing called the preview tab, which will basically show you as you're hovering over different things, it'll open it up.
Oh, cool.
If you want that or not. And you can also search external items in here or show details. So if I do show details, it'll show me more stuff with regards to where the file's located and stuff like that. But so here's preview tab where if, as I page through all the different ones, it's opening up the file and highlighting where the terms are. Yep, so I want to open this one. And so while I opened up, it was really easy. The window disappears because now I'm in the editor, so I can just immediately start typing. So that was Navigate To, which will now become Go To, which we triggered with Control Comma, was how we brought that up.
Okay.
Also, wherever your cursor is in here, it will automatically populate it with that. So my cursor was on Fixable Diagnostic IDs, and I do that, and it shows up there. So maybe title is a bit of a better example, where you can start to see all the different ones in there.
Cool.
Yeah. And so this concept of being able to filter out your results is something that we've now added to IntelliSense as well. So a lot of people are writing code in unfamiliar code bases. So if you're working on an open source project and you don't really know what all the code base is, you haven't written any of it from scratch, and you're just trying to play around and fix a bug, you basically don't know what things are. Or like you dot into things, you have no idea what's going to show up. And so what we've added now is the ability to filter your IntelliSense. So you can say, oh, I only want to see classes or only methods from IntelliSense to help you like learn code bases faster. Also, if you have large code bases, when you start typing IntelliSense, that completion list is going to start to fill up with so many different things because you have such a large code base. And so what we've just tried to do is add this like little icon tray to the bottom, which I can show you here. Which will make things way easier. So you can see as I'm typing that there's all these little icons here on the bottom. And so if I hover over them, it tells you what the icon represents, and it also gives you the keyboard shortcut associated with it.
That was gonna be my next question.
Yeah, so that you don't have to use the mouse at all.
Cool.
Yep, so you can filter over all of these. So, yeah. So like here, I say, oh, I only wanna look at properties, so I can do Alt-P, and you can see it selected the property one, and I only have properties in here. or I could do Alt M and only get the methods and see all the methods in there.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then we also support camel casing, which not a lot of people know about. It's also supported in the go-to feature, where I could say like, oh, GS. And then now you can see them bolded in here, which is what we call completion highlighting, mm-hmm. Where you can see that the G, like basically, so you understand why you're getting these suggestions. Like, oh, why is get semantic model below get syntax? We can see the GS is sooner. You can probably try to figure out how our completion algorithm works, which is kind of a great mystery.
Now, that's been in there for a while, hasn't it?
The ability to do camel casing, yeah. Yes, okay. It is. The highlighting is new.
Right.
And the filtering is
right.
new.
Okay.
Yes. But the actual camel casing has always existed.
Right.
But not a lot of people know about it. So that's why we added the bolding in there. So you can say, oh, like yeah. this actually works and applies to something. Unfortunately, the camel casing only works if you match the case. So you have to do capital G, capital okay. S. You can't do lowercase g,
right.
lowercase s. Yeah, so those are just some things to help you when you have a lot of information coming at you to help you filter them down when you're mm-hmm. exploring and navigating and trying to figure out how things work and learn unfamiliar code bases.
Cool.
So that's where we're improving productivity there. And so the next thing that we do is we've added a lot of what we call code actions or quick actions and refactorings to Visual Studio, which each release we try to add more and more mm-hmm. of those. And so the whole point of those is we basically, as we're writing code all the time, there's like you encounter the same old boilerplate that you have to fill in, or you just want to extract a method, and it's like so easy to just copy and paste it, but it's like takes so much effort to move the mouse or like to navigate through with the arrows, and like what if there's one click to do it? And so that's what we try to do, is we try to make all these quick little actions that you do down into one click. And so that's what this cool. light bulb is that you'll see. So for example, you can see here that there's already a light bulb here with quick actions for things I can do. We're not going to get to that yet, because as I typed this switch, you can see that there's this little box next to switch on the left, which means it's a snippet. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that means it's a code snippet, which means if I click tab tab, it's going to automatically put the boilerplate in for me, mm-hmm. which this is existed in previous versions of Visual Studio,
right.
but just wanted to recap it. And so then in here, it automatically puts me in here, so I can just immediately start typing. So diagnostics, and then I'll do the different severities of analyzers, the code I'm writing. So now that I've typed this whole thing in, if I click enter again, it's going to auto-populate my switch.
So cool.
With all my different cases.
That is cool.
Yeah, which this has existed in former versions. Just people don't know about
that
it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, people don't know about it.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so there's just these code snippets that exist.
Well, I knew code snippets existed, but I didn't know that you got that auto expansion of all the possible choices.
Yeah, so it's pretty great. Yeah. There's also not a lot of people know about, if click Shift Alt, you have this box selection where I can select
right.
across this
mm-hmm.
whole thing. So if I am missing cases, I lost a bracket there. So come up here, complete that. Then you can see there's a light bulb that's appearing over here on the side next to the line numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if I click Control Dot, that means there's something I can do here, a quick action or a factoring. And so you can see here, that's telling me I'm missing switch cases, and it will offer to add them for me.
Mm-hmm.
It also will offer to add me a default switch case, which I'm missing, or the option to add both.
Right.
And you'll see a little code preview pop up. That's basically going to show you a diff of what we're going to do for you here, which is super helpful because you kind of don't know exactly what's going to happen until
right.
you see this code preview, and you're like, oh, that's exactly what I want to happen. So here I actually want to add both. And I can click enter, and it's going to add both for me. Another cool thing is, like, say I want my error case to be on the top. I can just kind of like select these two lines and then do Alt up arrow,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to move it to the top. And then say I want warning to be the next one. Again, just click Alt up arrow, and I can just quickly reorder these to the order that I wanted them to be.
If you were amazingly dexterous, you could also highlight them with your finger and drag them up.
Yeah, if you have really good, especially on a little surface touchpad, I could just and select this, drag it up.
Or do it on the touch screen with your fingers.
And I even messed it up. Look at that.
You got to be
touch screen.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. Nope. Didn't even work on touch screen.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just quick things so your hands never have to touch the mouse. You can do all this stuff with just keyboard shortcuts. So it's alt up and alt down. So if I select my two lines, I don't even have to select the whole line. I just have to have basically a highlight in it, and then alt down and alt up is going to move them. Another thing we did is say I want to do something special here if I have an error.
Here's a question. So let's say you just moved the case and not the break, and now you've got a case, break. You get the order mixed up. Is there a keyboard shortcut to look at that? And
you mean if I do something like that?
Yeah.
It'll be a compiler
error.
Like
a light bulb that would come on and say, oh, I know what's wrong.
No. Right now, just say, hey, like something is totally wrong here. So you have no enclosing loop of which break to continue.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry. We're not that smart yet. We're getting there.
Well, in the simplest of cases, it would be easy to do, but I could see it would pretty quickly get to the point where we don't necessarily know what you were trying to do.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to make a suggestion.
Yes.
Okay.
So if I want to, I don't know, let's see. Let's see if there's something I can if on here. So do my alt P. Okay, so the document name, I don't know, starts with D. Then I want to return something, return a task. I don't know, we're just going to dummy it because it doesn't matter. Or return, I guess we can just return. What a lot of times we want to do is like, oh, I actually want to do more stuff in here besides just return. Or I guess I can just break. Let's say I just break here. A lot of times like, oh, shoot, there was like something else I wanted to do in here. And so what we have to do is we come up to this line, type in a brace to make it multi-line, delete that extra brace it auto puts in, come back down here, close it, and now it's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So it took a lot more effort than I really wanted it to. So what we did instead is now once you're up here, you can do control dot and now it'll add our braces for you.
Oh,
and you didn't have to think about anything. So, yep. So it just makes everything so much easier to just be able to add that to quickly make this multi-line. And then whatever I wanted to do in here, I can now do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, so that makes that way easier. And these are just the nice little things that we're trying to do with all these different refactorings. So, and quick actions. So another one that not a lot of people know about is, let's come down here. You can see this line has gotten really long.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can do is I can select this expression that is especially long. And I can click control dot. Again, you could see that there was a light bulb that appeared as soon as I selected it, meaning there was something I could do. And I can see I have multiple options to do in here. But the one that I want is I can now introduce a local variable for this. And so again, we get the code preview showing that the line that I had before won't exist anymore. And now it's going to create the local for me and condense this expression.
Mm-hmm.
So once I click enter, we also, as a productivity point, are going to drop you in a rename session.
Right.
So that if you don't like the variable name we picked for you, you can just change it. So I don't like it. And so I can just immediately start typing and say, oh, it's generic expression.
Yep.
And then to commit it, I just click enter. And so that was just really, and so again, to rename, you can do control RR, and they'll put you back in there, and they'll highlight in the code all the different places.
And then if you try to rename it something that already exists, you get a whole bunch of red boxes.
Right, so if I try to name it something that exists already, say, oh, you have conflicts. Yep. And then you can see in this top thing up here that I have two unresolvable conflicts when I do this. I can also choose to include comments or strings when I do my rename. So, yeah. So those
two features have been in 2015.
Yes, they're in 2015 all along.
And are there How much new has been added to the things that the light bulb will tell you, the suggestions?
Right. So in VS15, the add braces will be in there. Okay. The add missing switch case will be in there. So those were some new ones that we threw in. We also will add convert property to method. And I think convert method to property is in the other one in 2015, one of the updates. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're just adding a smattering of them in there. And the hope is we don't necessarily need to tell you they exist. You'll just, as you're working, see a light bulb or something, and then you'll know to do it.
Has the philosophy of when the light bulb appears versus when you need to control dot and call it up, how has that evolved?
What do you mean?
Well, for example, if I have usings that I'm not using, they get a little bit grayed out and a light bulb appears, right?
Right.
So the light bulb in that case comes to the forefront, but if I highlight some text or I go to some code that could be refactored but doesn't need to be, then sometimes I have to call up the light bulb, right? So there are kind of times, there's a, I don't know how thin the line is, but you don't want the light bulb always in your face nagging you, oh, you could do this differently, oh, you could do this differently, versus it never appears and only shows up if you ask it.
Right, so that kind of leads to something I'm going to talk about next, where you can see all these vars are squiggled with a green line, and if you hover over it, it says, oh, use explicit type instead of var, which you might be like, whoa, like, I can use var, that's totally fine. So what we're allowing you to do is actually specify what severity level you want some of this code analysis reported at.
And and you're using a code analyzer for that, right?
Right, so what's coming in Visual Studio 15 is we've basically written a lot of style rules as analyzers so that if you're a dev lead on a team and you realize, oh, your team's spending all this time nitpicking style and formatting and code reviews instead of like paying attention to logic, you can now just have an enforced standard on your team that you can share across the whole team for style, and it will just everyone will just load that and it'll enforce it.
But you still need to... Is that built into the product, or is that something that you download or build yourself?
Right. So right now, all this customization of how analyzers are reported are baked in. But the goal is to use something like editor config to allow you to basically abstract it out using NuGet. And then I can just share that across all the teams and integrate it into your CI and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the goal.
All right.
Hopefully it gets in. We'll see. Yeah, so to just a like sneak peek of what this could look like is, again, if I go to the quick launch and I type code style, then I can just go to code style. And I can see here that I have all these different options. So I can choose to prefer this or not prefer this. I can change the severity level. So we have info, warning, and error. So error means that your code will not build. If you do that, and it'll be red squiggle. Warning means your code will still build, but we're going to be really in your face and put a green squiggle in your editor.
Is that at the IDE level, the solution level, the project level, and does it roam?
Okay, so...
basically, I told you I'd ask questions.
Right. So if you have an error, and like basically, yes, it's at the build level. But so if you have an error and you set something as an error, your code will not build.
Period or only
period.
For that project?
Period.
Okay, got it.
Yes. Well, if it, so, assuming that we get the editor config work to release, then if you say in your editor config that you want, you have your this preferences and they're errors, they're all errors if you use this dot, then your code will not build if you have that editor config.
Because I could see where you would sometimes want that to be global, but sometimes it's based on the project.
Right, so we're going to allow you to specify many different editor configs at different levels.
Got it.
So you would be able to have your basically rule set file at the project level or at the solution level.
Right.
Or
like,
I don't
I
know.
I like to use var, and you might say, no, we're not using var.
Right.
So when I'm when I open the solution that I'm working on with you, I would want that rule to be enforced, even at the error level. But when I'm doing my own stuff, it should. I want it to be hidden or none or whatever, because I like var.
Yeah. So basically, what you should be able to do is, you'll have a. You can have like a default file that has your default settings, but then For example, one use case is like, hey, you're an open source author.
Right.
And people are contributing to your code base, but they're using a different style than what you have. Mm-hmm. But you want your code base to be really readable, so you want everyone to have the same style. You'll put like editor config or whatever our file is that we're going to have these rules attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they download that and open up in Visual Studio, they'll get errors and warnings and things won't build right. based off your rules.
But it's still the case that there's no way of enforcing that. Because you could go into Visual Studio and change something that's an error to just a warning and then type and it'll compile, right?
Right. Well, you can make it so they can't check in and edit the new editor config file with their change setting.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can say, oh, we do not accept editor config files. So in their pull request, you can be like, oh, no, you changed the settings in here.
All right.
Like,
no. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you see in here that I have all my var preferences set to warnings. Mm-hmm. For so I say you should use the explicit type, and if you don't, it's a warning. I could change it to an error. We have something called info, which basically means it has no editor presence at all, but it will show up in your error list.
Right.
Which is actually something that we're going to change in the future, where we're actually going to give it an editor presence and call it something more along the lines of suggestion. The reason for this is a lot of people don't know some of these refactorings exist or code actions, and so we're trying to find an unobtrusive way of introducing them to people.
Right.
And so it'll be like a little faded gray line or something. And then from there, you'll be able to say, oh, I could do something here, click Control Dot, and then you can see, oh, I could add braces or something.
And will there be the ability to add rules to this, sort of in the same way that you add analyzers? Because I would imagine that there's some commonality in the code you'd have to write.
Right. So, yeah. So this is like just a beta version of what it's eventually going to be. But yeah, you'll be able to, based on what analyzers you load in, control their settings all from the same spot.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Eventually, basically nothing will be baked in, and it'll all just be like a NuGet of all the rules is one line of thinking for it. We also have the ability to add naming rules.
This is already the best version of Visual Studio ever and a no-brainer upgrade.
Yes, this is still in beta for naming rules, but you could basically like say a rule like, I don't know, prefer camel casing. And then you can basically choose what symbols you want it to apply to. You can add new symbol rules if you want. You can choose the naming style. So I can like come over here and say, oh, I want it to be camel case. And then you can say like what severity you want it to be at, so it's like error.
So there's required prefix. Can there be prefixes that aren't allowed? Like if you were
So you can make all fields have underscore or whatever you want.
Or like you don't want to accept underscores, right? Can you do that? Can you say you can't name something starting with an underscore?
Well, I guess you would do that by saying there's no required prefix.
Okay.
So if there is none, and then you do it, then that would work. But yeah, we're still working on this. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not done. You can see the bottom was missing there. Now it's there. Oh, it's gone again. but it's just to give you a sneak peek into like what is coming and that we're thinking about code style with analyzers and how you can enforce all these different rules across your team so you can really just focus on the logic and getting stuff done without having to worry about, oh, consistent formatting and all this stuff.
Yep, cool.
And that way it makes it easier to onboard new developers as well because
the
code base is consistent and readable and that they don't have to figure out, you know, who did what and what different things mean. So another thing that is helpful to know is that I can actually use the side arrow to get into this little code preview. And if you see down here, I can fix all occurrences in the document, the project, or the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, oh, I want to use the explicit type everywhere in this document, and then I just click enter, and then I get a code preview of it. I click apply, and then voila, it changed all of them. You might have also noticed when I did the inline temporary variable that it gave it the syntax node already instead of giving it var. So I guess I can show that again. If I come here, do control dot, I can now inline the temporary variable that I have because I only use generic expression once. So I can inline it. And if I come back over here and choose to introduce a local, You can see that it says syntax node
right
over here because it's following my style rules that I've set already. So instead of offering var, it's on that. But if I had said that I prefer var, then it would offer var there. So in this code generation that we do, we're also applying mm-hmm. your rules.
Cool.
So you don't have to do multiple actions to get the same thing. It's all just lumped together. Yeah. Another thing that we have that is coming, I think part of it got in one of the updates for 2015, is basically fuzzy matching for references. So let's say that like I'm typing really fast and I'm not paying attention and I do this, then we actually will figure out what you meant to say and offer it for you.
Oh, nice.
So it says, oh, like I switched the E and the I in web mm-hmm. client, and it figured out what I was missing and offers the fix for me where I need to now use system.net. If I go into options up here, I probably won't be under NuGet. I actually just should find it. Options, advanced. I can now also do this to suggest usings for types and reference assemblies and using for types in NuGet packages. So now, if I do this, I have to wait a while for it to index a little bit. But basically what's going to happen now is if I type something that, for example, like JToken, which mm-hmm. is referencing the Newtonsoft library, we will basically figure out, oh, we've indexed the top 1,000 or so items in NuGet. And we'll say, was a common NuGet package. Mm-hmm. You probably want to install this. And then we'll offer to install it for you, add the reference, and qualify your type for you. So we'll see if it's done that yet. Nope, gotta wait a little bit while it's indexing. We probably should have a loading bar to show this. But yeah. Yeah, so like the whole point of what we're trying to do is like as you program, you never know like what your program is going to return. So like computer science, like I don't know if you watch like Brett Victor and his things, like it's one of the only like forms of like engineering or science where you're building something and you don't know what it's going to look like until you right. build and run. So it's like, oh, like it might work, it might not.
It should work.
Yeah. And so what we're trying to do is give you all this ambient feedback in the editor so that you know, like, so you can have some sort of idea of the feedback of your program.
Right.
Which is why we have all these squiggles and let you hover over things and stuff like that. So you could try to figure out what things mean and if this is going to do what you think it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So hopefully that worked by now. Yes. So if I type JToken, we can now see I have an option where it's going to say, oh, find and install the latest version. We can also see that I did the classic mistake of forgetting to capitalize things to make it Pascal case. And so it's going to offer to fix that for me, too, in the code preview.
Cool.
And so if I click that, it'll install the package for me and resolve everything. And so that saves you so much time because now you don't have to go to the NuGet like console, install a package, Newtonsoft, and then go from there. It's just all done. You don't have to add the using or anything.
Awesome.
All right, another thing that we've done is a lot of people use the FX cop rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually took some of the top, most commonly used FX cop rules and made them into Roslyn analyzers, which are what are in 2015. So that now, as you're typing, and if you violate a FX cop rule, you'll see immediately instead of waiting on build.
Right.
So it's just another thing. A lot of people use FX cop rules. So like, hey, let's just try to make these where it makes sense into analyzers. And then where possible, we actually added fixes as well. So if there's an easy fix for something you did, like you forgot the iSerializable attribute, we mm-hmm. will offer to just add it in for you.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so that was a lot of the ambient feedback we've done and a lot of the quick actions we've added. What else do we want to see? So another thing not a lot of people know about is if I go to the error list, oops, too many R's. So basically, what a lot of people will open the error list and start to go through to resolve all their errors. So let me actually change my code style rules so I have a bunch of errors. So I'm going to go into code style. I'm going to go here. I'm going to make all of these errors. So I just need to type a little bit so that reruns the analysis. Oh, except I needed to change it to prefer var instead. So now if I prefer var, you can see now that all these turn red. So if I open my error list, what a lot of people don't know is that I can actually click F8. And so if I do F8 in the editor, it'll jump me through my file to all my different errors.
Yeah.
So we have like this cool...
That's been in there a while though, right?
Yep. So we have like this cool scroll bar that shows you where all the different errors are. Mm-hmm. And so a quick way of just navigating to all of them is just F8, F8. F8. So you can go through your whole document and fix all those problems.
Cool.
And then eventually when we rename the info to suggestion, then you should be able to use F8 to go through your document and find all the different suggestions. So then after you write your whole code and you got your logic down and you just want to refactor it, you can be able to click F8 and just jump to all the different places where you could do a refactoring to help clean up your file.
Cool.
Yeah. What else can we show? Oh, and F8 works as well when you do find all references and things like that. Another thing with navigation that we added in Visual Studio 2015 Update 1 is the ability to go to implementation. So there's now the option where you can go to things implementations, which not a lot of people knew about before. We can also peek definition, which basically opens up an inline go to definition for you. So from here, I don't have to have basically when I watch people program, you just see a bajillion tabs across the top and they just never close their tabs. And then if they see Visual Studio getting slow, they'll close all but this one tab and then start again until they get a bajillion tabs. So that's what peek definition tries to help solve. Is instead of having to open up tabs for all these different go-to definitions, you can now inline just quickly see.
Right. You can also edit in there as well.
Yeah, you can also edit in here. You can also keep navigating. So if I go to definition of that, so this is going to metadata, so it might take a while. But I should be able to see. Let's see. So now if I go to type symbol, this is a bad example. Okay, let's do root. Go to definition. Peak definition. Now go to peak definition. And go peak definition. It'll just open them all up in here so you can dive down into the rabbit hole of navigation. But then also we have right here the ability to go back and forth. So I can navigate to all my different history of navigations.
Cool.
Which is really helpful because a lot of people when they're investigating bugs will say, oh, what does this mean? Dive into it. Yep. Oh, what does that mean? Go into it. Oh, what does that mean? They end up going down this whole rabbit hole. And they're like, oh, wait, I want to go back to where I just was and where I was before that and where I was before that. And they get lost a lot of times. And so this just keeps it all preserved for you so that you can just easily navigate.
Sweet.
Yeah. That, I think, is a lot of the a lot of the stuff that we've done. I don't know, do you want to see source control stuff? I can show a little bit.
Do I want to see cool stuff? Of course.
Source control stuff. I don't know. So,
you're in charge.
Yeah, I just blabber forever about productivity stuff.
We're at 44 minutes. All right, show us one more thing.
Okay, so there's now this ambient feedback.
They said this should take 45 minutes, and we're at 45 minutes, which is unprecedented for this show. You're like the first guest who ever actually did 45 minutes of stuff Woo-hoo. In 45 minutes.
Awesome. So you can see down here, we have ambient feedback on basically our source controls. So we can see I have a master branch here. I can create a new branch if I want. I can call it, I don't know, demo. So now I've created a new branch. It switched me to that branch. So I've checked out to that branch. I can see what repo I'm in. I can see that I've made changes here. And then when I open up, it'll take me right to Team Explorer, show me all that stuff. I can add my changes in here, stage them, give commit messages, commit all my stage things. And then I can see up here that I have unpublished commits, and then I can check them out there. And so we've basically done a lot of work to improve the Git workflow inside Visual mm-hmm. Studio. And again, give you this ambient feedback to let you know like what is the status of your repo and like what branch you're on, and let you check out and, I don't know, see the diffs between different commits and stuff like that. And so again, we're just trying to make everything for you more productive so you can just get to writing code and make cool stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, so you said a bunch of stuff that's coming in the next version. Do you think there will be, how much more additional stuff do you think there might be before that ships, if you can share that with us?
Besides like what I've shown?
Yeah, is it close to being done? Is there a whole bunch more being planned?
So there's always more being planned. Like there's right. always so much stuff we want to do. It's just mm-hmm. how are we going to break it down into smaller stories for each release. But
okay.
As a whole in Visual Studio, we're trying to put more and more features into each updates.
Right.
So basically every update will offer more and more stuff.
Okay.
So whatever comes out at RTM, there will be more that builds off of it in update one and however many updates are thereafter.
Right. And yeah. as always, the best place to comment on this stuff is User Voice.
User Voice is one place. We also have a GitHub for our team.
Okay.
So if there's IDE-related things with regards to analyzers or like errors or the C-sharp itself,
right,
you can just go to GitHub.
Because Roslyn's
yes, the compiler.
Open source.
Yeah, right. And it's all open source.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, we're excited. So, I mean, if anyone has productivity feature requests, mm-hmm. just post them on User Voice or on our GitHub, and
right.
we'll definitely look into them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank
all
you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. We will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.